Well, hey, you all. Welcome to the Sandy Savage Show. I'm your host, Sandy Savage. This podcast is a weekly podcast dedicated to the dreamers, the doers, the creatives, love, inspiration, and joy. We will be hearing the stories, motivations, daily lives, and dreams of men and women who are out there going for it. Now, I'm a business owner, a nonprofit founder, a ninth-generation Kentuckian, and married to the most awesome man, Tim Savage. I love to write, create, work with all the yarn, teach, and learn. So I want us to have an open dialogue about faith, life, challenging times, and how we work through that, and how to maintain joy through it all. So, thanks for listening. Let's get started. Well, hey, everybody, this is Sandy Savage, and I'm your host for the Sandy Savage Show. And today I have someone very special on the podcast that I cannot wait for you all to get to know a little bit better. We have got Abby Hamilton today on the podcast. She is a Kentucky born and raised country and folk rock singer-songwriter. She has an ironic and sincere lyrical perspective, and Abby really knows how to draw in the listeners with just active storytelling and hilarious tales of life and the working class and retelling of classic themes. And, you know, of course, the good old country heartbreak, which we all know. So I am going to let her tell you guys just what she's got, what she's had going on. We're going to talk a ton about just her perspective being in the music industry right now and what's happening. So take a hold in your seats, y'all. I got some Abby Hamilton. Hey, Abby, how are you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
Doing good. Doing good. Just hanging out. Hanging out, chilling. Abby, I would love it if you could let everybody know. Just give some of your background. Like, how did you even get to this point of singer-songwriter in your life?
Yeah, I grew up in Nicholasville, Kentucky, and I grew up in a predominantly, like, CCM, contemporary Christian music home. Anything outside of that was, like, a little bit of Vince Gill, maybe some U2.
Little classics.
Dad liked Garth Brooks, so I do remember hearing the Thunderbolts a lot. But yeah, so I grew up kind of just singing in church and always had music around. My dad played piano. My mom sang. She's a really good singer. So
she is.
Most of my family sang and all that stuff. But I just started on piano as a little girl. And we had a rule in our house growing up. Every year we had to take a music lesson until we were 18. It didn't matter what it was. We could flop. Like,
that's a great rule.
Yeah,
I like that.
It's one of those things where I'm like, yep, that's something my parents did that I will, like, totally probably do if I ever have a family someday, too. Because I did go through it kicking and screaming, but came out the other side, like, very, very grateful for that. So my grandparents were huge classic country fans, so that was kind of where I had first heard Johnny Cash and George Jones and Madeline. And that really inspired just an obsession with country music, not ever thinking I would do it, but just a love for it, love for the history. I would read every book I could find and, like, watch every movie and stockpile information. I went through my first heartbreak at, like, 18, and as I would with worship music sometimes in church, you know, I would go to the piano to play out my feelings, right? And it naturally just kind of came out how I felt about this. I guess it was one of the more traumatic things that had happened in my life at that time. Mm. But it, I just started writing songs at the piano. And mm-hmm. The more I did that, turned into wanting to write on guitar, which I couldn't. So these natural country melodies kind of came out. And mm-hmm. so I haven't really been playing out or writing that long. I started probably when I was about 19 or 20. Mm-hmm. But I always loved it. Loved country music. Loved songwriting.
And right now, how old are you?
24.
So you have been, I mean, just writing, that's been something new. And do you play guitar now too?
Yeah, functional.
Right.
I look out because my brother is a phenomenal guitar player. So
yes,
I have family ties there that can help me out.
What's it been like to work with your brother? Because I know you and Zach have played out a ton. Like yeah. I've seen you all play together. Like what's it like playing with your family?
It's the best. I forget sometimes that not everybody does that. Like mm-hmm. I'm so used to, my sister sings too. Mm-hmm. And, you know, my whole family does. So it's just so normal to me. And then I, you know, we started playing out and I was like, oh, not everyone plays with their brother. But yeah, it's such a blessing. I mean, he's so freaking good. I'm like, he's going to have his own career tenfold, like down the line. So I'm super grateful he's a part of what I'm doing. He brings so much insight production wise, but also just energy. Like mm-hmm. he's such a good dude to be around and grateful for the friendship that we've developed through all of it. Yeah. And he's a stinker. So
that's going to be out there. Zach is a stinker. Hashtag Zach is a stinker.
We call him the definition of a Leo because he's just like, mm-hmm. hey guys, like wants to love everything and has so much energy directed at what he wants.
We love Zach. So tell me, so you started, you were on the piano, you had your harp, and how did you go from that to playing out, to now, you know, playing festivals, to playing, you know, what you're doing? So what was that transition like? Like, how did you start getting your stuff out there?
I had a really good friend in college that, his name's Daniel Lycan, that is a phenomenal guitar player, like chicken picking, like country to the bone. He's from mm-hmm. West Virginia, or he's from Belfry, so like West Virginia, uh-huh. Tech line. And we became such fast friends, bonding over music and stuff. So when I first had these songs, I took them to him. So there was about a year where I just would go over to his house 3 times a week because he lived in Wilmore too. And we would just write and write and write and write and write just for the fun of it. Like no thought of anything other than maybe we'll send these songs someday, you know, to somebody mm-hmm. else. And I was lucky enough to have really, really good friends in college that are very like, go get it. What's the, any, like a type 3 on the Enneagram. Uh-huh. Where they're like, go get her, get stuff done. You know.
What are you? Do you know you?
I'm a 4.
You're a 4. I'm a 7.
You're 7. 7s are my favorite. I'm surrounded by like all of my best friends are 7s.
Really?
Yes.
We kind of fly by the 6, but it's like my, you know, whatever.
My best friend Emily always says she collects 4s. Like,
<that's> collecting 4s. I need more 4s if you're a 4 out there. Yeah, I'd love to have you. I want to collect you. I want to collect you. Okay, we digress. Yeah, we digress.
I have really good friends that just were like, if you ever. Well, also, I knew that in Kentucky, because it's not like Nashville where you can just play a writer's room and somebody's going to find you. Like, mm-hmm. I knew. If anyone was going to want to cut a song that I had, because everyone out of Kentucky is predominantly a singer-songwriter, so they write all their own music. Yeah, you're not going to probably reach across the line to, like, cut someone else's song, mm-hmm. I think, just in the way our music works, just because everyone's singer-songwriters. So mm-hmm. I knew that if I wanted to get my songs heard, even if I didn't want to sing them later down the line, right. I had to play them out. You know, it had to be just a way for people to hear it, even if my end goal was Nashville. So, I had a good friend that was like, yeah, I'll book a show. We'll just pretend I'm your manager. And I was like, okay.
Nice.
I don't really know how this works, but fine. And we had a lot of friends that played out, so they were kind enough to let me start opening for them. That's really how the ball kind of started rolling. So mm-hmm. played a lot here in Lexington, played at Owls and Green Lantern and, you know, all those bars, which I love. And then we started playing at the Barole a lot and just made friends. I got better. I got way better, as you do when you're playing out for a couple years, and was writing better songs and got more opportunities to open for more people. And yeah, it's so crazy because you look at it from the outside sometimes and you're like, I don't understand how this person got from this place to this place in a music career. And the more that I'm, you know, doing it for myself, the more I'm like, oh my gosh, like, oh, it is practice. That's all it is. It's just years of playing shows and practicing your instrument and writing better songs, because mm-hmm. I feel like you only get better the more you write. So that's kind of been my journey so far.
Oh my gosh. Well, what has this year looked like for you? Like, where have you just been playing out of town and do some festivals? What happened?
Yeah, it's been insane. We've gotten to play a lot of really special shows with friends that, you know, I adore, that have become like, you know, colleagues, and mm-hmm. we've all worked together. So I got to play a lot this year with Grayson Jenkins, who's one of my dear friends, and we write a ton together. Mm-hmm. And we did a few festivals this year, which was so fun. But yeah, it's been a really exciting year. We've predominantly been in the studio for most of it, so mm-hmm. it's been a good pace because we've only played shows we've really wanted to play. We've not just been mm-hmm. gigging out every weekend. So
right.
There's a lot to look forward to right now.
Pacing it out.
Pacing it out. I'm sure we wanted to preserve a sound because you don't want to just exhaust, you know, everything I have in like three dates here in Lexington in a weekend, you know? It's like, mm-hmm. well, we've heard Abby four times this weekend. So,
right.
You know, I'm, learning how to really craft a show and, I don't know, find arrangements I like and mm-hmm. put on a show that I'm really proud of instead of just cranking out a 40-minute set.
So it's awesome.
Yeah, it's a good spot to be in.
Yeah.
I'm really inspired by so many other people right now and trying to find what I like and what I want to do. So
I love that. I love that. Now I know in part of your like searching for your specific voice and your finding, you did a lot of like you went to Paintsville, Prestonsburg, around there and stayed there. Tell me a little bit about that.
Yeah, my dad's side of the family, there's a family farm out in Beaver that my granny and pa used to own. And it's just, we spent like all our summers out there growing up. So it's a very special place to me. And one of the houses on the property was free this last summer. So I just called my mamma and was like, hey, I mean to be a squatter, but like, can I live on the farm? So I did. I moved out there. She was so great. I spent a lot of time with her and my uncles and aunts up there. But mainly, yeah, just kind of by myself in the mountains, writing music all day, every day, learning how to garden, learning how to like take care of a house, you know? Mm-hmm. It was really fun. Sometimes when I talk about it, I'm like, oh my gosh, this sounds so dramatic. Like I've, you know, gone away to the woods to find myself. And it really is. I mean, that's what it was, you know? And I had an incredible time. Got to know myself very well, which is uncomfortable, but good.
It's always that uncomfortable spot. It's always that uncomfortable spot where you go, oh man, I don't really want to look at that. Yeah. But, oh, that's really helpful in knowing who I am.
Yeah. Well, songwriting too, it's like I was mm-hmm. I had to pull from places that were really old, that I had shelved, or emotions or situations that maybe whatever didn't know that were still kind of open. And so then it was like, oh, I didn't know I still felt that deep about this pain that I felt at 20, you know? And apparently it still hurts. So it's like, I gotta like really figure this out and finish my song and write it how I need to, but also figure out what's going on. So it was a lot of that.
Gosh, is there like a process that you go through in your songwriting? Do you like, I need to sit down and I need to use this specific journal, and I, you know, what is your process in your songwriting?
I'm a little neurotic in that way. I'm a freak about natural light. Like I have to be in a room that is really well lit mm-hmm. and open, which is weird. Like what in the world?
No closed dark room.
No. There's like this weird ball of energy. Like, I know that if I'm in a room like that, I'm like, I'm fine. So I have to kind of find those spaces, which makes for weird, right, sometimes. But there's a journal I use a lot. I filled up a lot of journals, but I predominantly will start with like a hook idea I'll have that I'll have voice memoed into my phone. Mm-hmm. And then I try to come up with some kind of chord structure around that and then play it over and over and over and over and over again. Just because I will jump the gun. I'm pretty big picture in terms of songwriting. Like I got to buckle down to find some details in my mm-hmm. narratives. And when I co-write with other people, they get really frustrated because I'm like, and then this can happen, and then this can happen, and, and they're like, Abby, you have to finish the first verse, you know? So I have to do put some boundaries around myself when I write by myself to make sure I kind of like stay on track. Mm-hmm. So yeah, a light room. I love journaling, and I have to have like some tea or coffee. For sure.
That's like an everyday thing, though.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's actually my morning routine.
I would like some tea, some coffee, yeah. And a little espresso. Thank you.
Right. I'm like, hummus, pita chips.
It is pumpkin spice season. It's right now. I am so loving it.
Are you loving it?
I'm ready for fall. I'm ready for it.
Oh, I'm ready for it. I'm not a big pumpkin spice person. I have tried, and I'm basic. I'm so basic. But I'm like way more. When I heard that the pumpkin spice latte thing was coming out, I was like, oh, that means the peppermint mocha's here.
Ooh, right? Yes, the peppermint mocha.
No, it's not.
No, it'll be a little bit.
That's
little
so
bit.
Sad.
Oh, the peppermint mocha. Listen to us. We could be caffeine addicts.
Oh,
oh my gosh. For yes. Sure. Yes. Okay. So again, we digress. For everyone listening out there, just to let you know. Okay. So I've known Abby.
Oh my
gosh. since you were 7.
Yeah.
7 years old. So we've known each other for a long time. So we can digress a little bit. But I'm going to get back on track. Back on track. Okay. Abby, here's something that I particularly have a special heart for right now within the country music scene, and that's where it's going and what the role of women is right now in the country music scene. Can you speak to that a little bit? Like, what are you seeing and what are you hoping?
Yeah. I mean, I feel like that's the monster of the question right mm-hmm. now around music. I am 100% a feminist, so I know that for me, the earliest memories I ever had of country music, other than maybe George Jones, because my grandpa used to sing that a lot, was Kitty Wells, Loretta mm-hmm. Lynn, and Patsy Cline. Like, mm-hmm. my grandma would play all of them for me all the time. And, you know, when you see yourself or hear yourself represented in art, whether it's in music or a movie or a TV show, and like as a kid you're like, oh, that's me. Mm-hmm. I mean, granted, at 8 years old I wasn't married and being cheated on, but like it was
right,
you know, that like the first time I heard Dolly and whatever, these women are juggernauts and in terms of their influence on not just country music but songwriting and pop music. And I don't know. My hope is just to see more women on the radio. Like, mm-hmm. I cannot stand that when I listen to country music on the radio, it's like 6 male vocals and then 1 really old Carrie Underwood song, right?
Right.
And then like 7 more dude songs, and then let's break it up with a Maren Morris song, or like, mm-hmm. you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But I do think the tides are turning. I think the more women that continue to just write and sing, you're populating this mm-hmm. genre, you know? I don't know. I love female singers. I love what melodically comes out of a girl's voice mm-hmm. a lot of the times, just as much as I love a man's voice. And I get really frustrated when I hear people say, I don't like girl singers or I don't like girl country singers. You know, you're like, okay, well,
how?
Actually, a girl wrote that song that you love about the truck. Like,
right.
The movers and the shakers in songwriting world are women. It's like, for the most part, it's Lori McKenna and Natalie Hemby. It's all these girls that are my heroes. And yeah, I just want more girls to feel empowered to be able to sing and play guitar, and want them to be able to take lessons just like the dudes do and be told how to tune their guitar at the age of 8 instead of 24. You know what I mean?
Right.
I feel like that is something that I'm looking forward to, you know, but I feel like the tides are turning for sure.
What would you say to a girl out there or a woman out there that wants to venture more into a creative field like songwriting or singing? Like, what would you say to them as they're just getting started out?
Just do it. I don't know. I think you have just as much power and like authority and dominance and independence as anyone else walking into that room. Like, and I think unfortunately sometimes a man can be a really bad singer and play really bad guitar and still get the show. You know what I mean? And I think women can believe sometimes that if they're not perfect, they're never going to get the show. And that's not true. Does that make sense?
Like, yes.
I would just encourage you to play. Just go into bars and play. Ask if you can set up at the coffee shop and start to play. The more you play, the better you get. And believe in yourself and believe, like, you are capable. And I think everybody that starts out, unless they're, like, a super genius, is like, I remember when I was really, really bad. And you're like, yeah, we all remember that. You know what I mean?
Everybody starts out really, really bad.
I would never, ever play out the first song I ever wrote, right? Like, no one would. But yeah, I would just say, you can do it. Like, it's not anything you should be afraid of. And reach out to other women you know that are doing it. Or other dudes, too. Ask to sing harmony. Like, start that way and move into whatever else you need.
I love that. Well, where do you see you moving into? Like, what is your next steps? Now, I know you can't talk about some of it, but like, what are you looking at for these next few months of your life? Like, what are you hoping to do?
Yeah, we're playing some really exciting shows here in Kentucky with about 3 or 4 of like some of my hero artists, like ever, which is exciting. On the 27th of September, we're playing the Brawl with my dear friends, Bendigo Fletcher, who's like one of the best bands ever. So I'm really excited about that. Mm-hmm. And we have a few more shows like that going into December. So we're just, you know, practicing and writing and getting ready for hopefully some exciting announcements in the spring that we've been working on all year. And yeah, the goal is just to play and play and play and get on tours and hopefully get to travel. And get some songs out.
I love that. How can people keep up with what's going on with you? Like, where can they find you? Where, you know, what's your social and website and all that kind of stuff?
Yeah, so I'm like 10 likes away from 1,000 on Facebook right now.
Go,
so,
come on.
Facebook's Abby Hamilton Music, and my Instagram is Abby E. Hamilton. And then we have an old EP out that's on Spotify and iTunes.
And we will link to all that, you all, in the show notes. Make sure you go to the show notes so you can you see all that and link to all that. Abby, is there anything else that you would just love to let people know?
Oh, that's a good question. I don't know. should I give like words of advice?
Yes, words of advice. Words of advice from Abby.
Okay, make sure your license isn't expired this week. Check your license. What else should I say?
That's always a you got it.
Any words of wisdom?
Words of wisdom.
Buy something on Poshmark this week for yourself. And go to a show. Always go to a show.
Always go to a show. Always go to a show. Well, you all make sure that you get to Abby's next show, which is out there. And we will have you back in a few months to talk about what else has been going on, because I want to get back on topic. So guys, go over there, take a listen, search her out, support your local music, and we love you. Talk to you later. Well, thank you all for listening. Oh my gosh. So we will have every link and resource over there on the website. So you can head to the show notes and get all the information that you need that we talked about today. And I want to give a special thank you to all of our subscribers. Hey, if you're not a subscriber yet, go on and subscribe so you know when a new show comes out. And gosh, if you can, just go rate and review it. Give a little thumbs up. That is super, super helpful to us. Gosh, you all are such a great community, and I love getting to share life with y'all. From the whole Savage crew, have a great week, and I'll see you next time.